And if you would, please, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 to 44. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. It's on page 744 in the Bibles in front of you. But here's what God's Word says. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but how it is hidden from your eyes, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. And they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." God's word is powerful and effective, and we pray that God will open our eyes to what he has to say to us today. Does anybody know who this fellow is? Nobody? Your son said that, by the way.
I don't think he does. He doesn't know who I am. He'll find out.
All three of us were going to be away this Sunday, and Pastor asked Ken if he would preach today, and Ken graciously said, "Yeah, I'll do that." And we appreciate you coming and sharing what God has left on your heart, or has on your heart today. And so I'm going to say, God bless you, brother, and hope we look forward to hearing what God has to say through you.
Yeah, well, he sounds all encouraging now, doesn't he?
Who's that?
He sounds all encouraging now. Just a few minutes ago, before church started here, he was so encouraging to remind me of how a prophet is received in his own country. So thank you for that, Homer.
No pressure.
The scripture that Homer read today was from the book of Luke, chapter 19. And I want to look a little bit at this today and try to get a picture of what Jesus saw as he crested the hill of the Mount of Olives and he came in sight of the great city of Jerusalem with its spectacular temple dedicated to his Father and our Father. And he had this wonderful view, the panorama of Jerusalem before him. And as he looked out across the city, you know, most people would crest the hill and say, how magnificent. They would see the white marble and the gold that trimmed the temple. And they would look at that and say, what a wonderful, glorious place it is. But Jesus, when he looked at the city as he came up over the hill, knowing what the week ahead held, began to weep. There's a church on Mount Olive, just across from the Temple Mount, that is dedicated to this passage. It's called Dominus Flevit, means the Lord wept. And it's a place that the church itself is in the shape of an upside-down teardrop. And it's there that they have a place where you can look out over the city and see the wonder of Jerusalem. Today, as you look at Jerusalem, you can look from the Mount of Olives, and you can see a temple mount, but there is not the temple that was there when Jesus looked. Of course, you know it today. It is the Dome of the Rock. There is a mosque up there that is dedicated to a totally different religion than what we practice and where we place our trust. So you can, let's just read this together again, if you would. Open your Bibles there to that place. Just try to get into the mind of Christ as he crests the hill and he sees this glorious sight. And then he has these words. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you, and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." He looks over the city and he weeps because he sees some things about the city. He knows something about the people in the city, and his heart is broken. Funny thing about eyes, isn't it? We see, we use our eyes for vision. But do you ever think about what is the reason for tears? Why come out the eyes, you know? I mean, we have tears in our eyes to actually wash our eyes, to, you know, for there's a physical reason for tears, you know, to be able to cleanse our eyes and things like that. But the fact that when we are overburdened, when we are in grief, when we are in sorrow, tears come flowing out our eyes. It's kind of an odd thing when you think about it. Our eyes see things. And the very instrument that sees those things that cause us grief then begins to pour forth water, maybe trying to cleanse of what they see. But grief is something that has always been expressed weeping and the teardrops that come from our eyes. Jesus saw the city with tears, and he saw it as one who had just been celebrated. They had just walked, entered across the Mount of Olives there, were heading down the city, and people were, you know, the waving of the palm branches and, you know, hooray, we have our king, right? But he knew that they didn't accept him truly as their king. And he saw their lack of faith, and I believe that's one of the reasons why he wept. He said, even you, of all people, should have known. You, the city of Jerusalem, the city of peace, should have known what would bring you peace. But he knew also that very soon that he would be turned over to be crucified. The lack of faith that he sees blinded the city. He says, if you'd only known, but, you know, it's hidden from your eyes. The lack of faith hides things from our eyes. We can't see ourselves properly unless we have faith. When we begin to see Jesus Christ for who he is, we begin to discover who we are. And the people didn't know how prideful they were. Just a few short verses from where we read, you know, there's the entrance and the celebration into the city of Jerusalem, celebrating Jesus as the coming king, so to speak. There are some that said, well, you know, tell these guys to hush up. Look at all that noise they're making over you. Who do you think you are? And he said, if they didn't celebrate me, the stones would cry out. Those people that said, who do you think you are? He said, they didn't have faith. They didn't receive him as king. They received him as, you know, he may be a prophet. How many people today look at Jesus in those terms as maybe a teacher or a prophet, someone who maybe is a great figure in history, who's made an impact? They don't see him as their king. They don't see him as their savior. Jesus, I believe, as he wept over Jerusalem, weeps today over things that affect him the same way, and that's the lack of faith. There's tears of disappointment of what could have been, tears of disappointment over those who are blind to their own pride and they're blind to their own sin. And because they're blind to who they are, they can't see what awaits them. They saw the grand city. They saw the beautiful marble, the big white marble, great stones, tons and tons moved from the quarry. And it's just, a feat in itself. And they saw that with great wonder. The disciples earlier had said to him, he said, Lord, look at the city. Look at the great stones. Look what Herod's building here. You know, they're trying to lift it up and say, look what Herod's doing. And Jesus said, you know, this is all going to be toppled down. It's all going to be leveled. Because people didn't have faith. People don't see their sin. And so the lack of faith blinds man to what he is, and he blinds man to what Jesus is or who Jesus is. They were looking for a king that was going to be somebody that would maybe deliver them from the Romans. But instead, Jesus saw a whole different thing. They didn't see him for who he was. And they didn't know that he was the Savior of the world. And their lack of faith in him blinded them. Interesting, in the Gospel talks about a man who was blind, and Jesus healed him of his blindness. He took, and as this man, he was blind from birth. Never had seen a thing. First thing he saw was Jesus, and when Jesus healed him, the Pharisees and the scribes, they looked at it and said, you know, what happened to you? You've been blind. You know, and then the guy says, well, Jesus healed me. And instead of opening the eyes of the Pharisees, they remained willfully blind to who Jesus was. Not looking at the miracle, not thinking, well, the guy's, he can see. Instead, they just continue to challenge Jesus for who he is. They don't have faith that he is their coming king truly. And so the city, when Jesus looks at it, he says, you know, there's a lack of faith here. People are blind. People are blind to their sin. They're blind to who I am. And he sheds tears over that. How many of us today can look at our current position, our current circumstances in life, And you think, you know, we may be pretty well off, you know. Look, you know, I might not have alabaster walls, but you know what I'm saying. I got a suit, right? Not looking too bad, maybe. Some of us have nice houses we live in. And sometimes we look at those things and say, we're doing pretty good. And a lot of people will make the excuse that, you know, the reason they don't want to really accept Christ as Savior is just, well, I'm just as good as anybody else. They're blind. Their present circumstances don't really mean much in the whole scope of things. Because what Jesus saw when he saw the city, as beautiful as it was, he saw terror ahead, judgment. He saw things that were not pretty, not very beautiful. He saw beyond the outward appearance and saw inside where the real trouble lay. So as we look at this through Jesus' eyes, I think that we have to be careful how we look at ourselves and we look at others. I think we should be brokenhearted over lack of faith. When someone is living their life just as though the material things is all that matters, it should break our hearts as it does his. When we see ourselves, perhaps, too highly, think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, Jesus weeps. So I think we ought to shed tears of disappointment over those who lack faith, who don't share faith, and don't trust in Christ. Because what happens is they are blind to who he is, and they're blind to themselves. If we see through the eyes of Christ as he goes over the Mount of Olives here, I think there's another thing that we should see is the coming judgment for those who do not have faith. Time is coming upon you, he said. If you had known only this day, they stood in time on a certain day, and he looked ahead to another day. We can't see in the future like Jesus did. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after. We don't know when judgment will come. But he knew when judgment would come upon this city. It will come. He knew that there's a time that will come upon that city. Now I wonder, you know, we get caught up in our day-to-day routine and we kind of look at things like, well, one day plays into another and everything becomes monotonous. And we kind of think, well, tomorrow's going to be just like today, right? And the day after. But one of these days, our monotony will be broken. Now, as Jesus foretold the destruction of Jerusalem, it did come about. And he told it about 40 years before it happened. But it did come to pass. It's an awful thing. If you read about it, Josephus wrote about it. He's a Jewish historian. And he wrote about the story of how the city was overthrown, and it's horrendous when you think of it. And those people in that city that day, when they looked around them and they saw the donkeys going up the street and business as usual, did not see what lie ahead 40 years. They did not see that in their future was judgment. He says, because you didn't recognize God's coming to you, this is what's going to happen. And he describes the horror. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you. He's talking about war. He's talking about the city being under siege. And it did. It was under siege. It was so horrific at the time. And the famine was so great. They built the walls around the city and around the city. Nobody could get out. Nobody could get in to bring supplies. Everybody was inside. And the famine was so great. People were dying left and right. The Roman army had to deal with all the bodies that were being dumped over the wall because they couldn't dispose of them inside of the city. And one guy came up to Titus, who was a son of the emperor, or son of Caesar, Vespasian. He came up and he said, this guy, he was in charge of getting rid of the bodies. And he says, I got to give account. I got to get paid for all my work here, getting rid of hauling all these bodies outside from the city walls. There was 150,880 bodies in just 20 days' time, only at his gate. We think of things like a tsunami. We think of earthquakes, and we think, wow, that's terrible. And we try to wrap our minds around something like 18,000, 10,000. We try to wrap our mind around, it's like, wow, that's a lot of people dead. But try to wrap your mind around hundreds of thousands of people Jesus saw that. And he wept. That was just Jerusalem. If we in our mind can catch a glimpse beyond what Jesus saw here and what Scripture tells us about a coming judgment where all men will be judged and the death will be way, way above, the death toll will be way above what we can even imagine. I wonder if we can really grip the idea of judgment and how horrific it will be. The Bible tells us, oh, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And it will be terrible. And so he sheds tears, grief over what is going to happen to Jerusalem and to the people in it. It's going to be a horrific time. We look at Japan and we can see that, and we can see how horrible it is. And we should commiserate with them. It should bring sorrow to our lives. We should sorrow for them, and it should be a burden on our hearts. But even that is only a small picture of what is coming. And so Jesus he's crying over, his tears are falling over lack of faith. His tears are falling over the coming judgment that's going to come upon those because of their lack of faith. But there's something else that he says here just at the very end. He says, you know, they will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. That's the term in Jewish circles for salvation. God's coming to you was either for salvation or for judgment. And they were looking for God's coming. They were looking for the Messiah. They said, where is he at? And they kept looking. And when he came, they said, didn't recognize him. They missed him. We like to look at the Jews and say, how could they miss that, right? I mean, look at all the miracles Jesus did. I talked about the blind man, but there are a lot of people raised from the dead. Remember Lazarus? And what did they do? Instead of dropping on their knees and saying, this has got to be God. They tried to kill Lazarus, the miracle man himself, you know. Tried to stomp out Jesus. But before we get too hard on them, think about today even. How many people, they see the work of God in someone's life and they just kind of quench it out. They just kind of block it out. They look at Jesus working in their heart and you know, maybe a preaching service, maybe a song will speak to their heart. And they quench it before, you know, I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to act all fanatical about this religious stuff. And so they just kind of block it off and cut it off. And God's speaking to their heart. And that's the time of their visitation. You know, we're not guaranteed that when we leave a place of communion with God, when God is speaking to our hearts, whether it be in a church service or whatever it is, we're not guaranteed that tomorrow we'll hear that voice. How many missed opportunities are there where people will say, well, I hear you, God, but not today. You know, and, I don't know. That's kind of fanatical, that religious stuff. We want to say, well, the Jewish people should have known. God visited them. God came to them. But how many people even today, when God visits in their heart, when God comes and speaks to them, they brush them off? That's a missed opportunity that he says, you know, you didn't recognize the time of God's coming to you. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible tells us. Today. The time of God's coming can be missed. That's what Jesus is looking at. It can be missed. And we can miss it today. It can pass us by. Remember the old song? While in others you are calling, do not pass me by. People can be passed by because they don't want to see. A lot of times it's not just they could not see, but they would not see, and therefore they could not see. They missed the chance of God's peace. If you had only known this day, what would bring you peace, he says. lives. I don't know, the psychology business is kind of booming. No peace. Self-help groups are trying. You can do this if you just do this, this step, and this step, and this step, and everything will be all right. They're failing. Every other way people are trying just to get around the only one that can really bring them peace. And that's Jesus Christ. Try to step around Christ to get to some other way to solve a problem. He's more than a problem solver. He's a Savior. But if you're looking for peace, there's no other place to look. Look no farther than Jesus Christ. He weeps over this missed opportunity. And I see those as tears of regret. He's sorry that they wouldn't turn to Him. There's another section of Scripture that kind of offsets this section of Scripture here in Luke, where we're told that heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. Heaven rejoices when someone enters the kingdom of God. What we see in this passage is either we own Jesus as King of our lives now, or He'll be our judge later. The sorrow comes if people turn Him away, or turn their back on Jesus. The joy comes if they turn their heart over to Him. We can turn tears of sorrow into joy. I would like to see, you know, a church like that one on the Mount of Olives there that's dedicated to where He wept over the city. You know, I'd like to see some place where the joy over those who have accepted Him, though the joy over those who said, "Yes, Jesus, You are my King." We can turn tears of sorrow into joy. Just as Jesus sees the city and weeps over those who have rejected Him and turned Him away, so He rejoices over those who take Him at His word, take Him as their Savior. As I look at through Jesus' eyes through this, as I look at how He views individuals, it challenges me on how I view others. How do I see someone else that doesn't have faith in Christ? Do I carry the burden that Jesus did for others? But it also challenges me in how I see myself. What does Jesus see when He looks at me? I trust Him. I know He's pleased with that. But if I were to look, I believe, in any different way than Jesus does in this Scripture to those who are lost, I think He would not be pleased with my vision, and He would think that I need corrective lenses, so to speak. We need to begin to see through the eyes of Christ. We must begin to see ourselves and others as Jesus sees us. How does Jesus see you today? That's the big question. If you were to feel the eyes of Christ upon you, what does He see in you today? Does He see faith? Does He see a faith that trusts in Him as King? Perhaps He sees a lack of faith, and you know that you need to turn your life over to Him. Perhaps He sees in your future something other than the heaven that we love to sing about so much. We in Sunday school this morning, we talked a little bit about the idea of judgment. It was hard for us a little bit to think of songs. It's easy to find songs that talk about all the joy and the glory of heaven, you know, what a wonderful day that will be and all that. But it's a little harder to find the songs of judgment. The truth is, we need to face up to it. And as Jesus saw judgment, when Jesus looks at us, what does He see? Can you see yourself through the eyes of Christ? What is in your future? Is it the horrific judgment, or is it beautiful heaven? I would encourage each one of you, as we think of this, we're going to sing a hymn shortly, Homer, if you want to come. think of you in the gaze of Christ, as he looks upon you. See yourself through his eyes. And if you need to come and bow before him at the altar today, I would ask you not to cause tears to come to his eyes because of the last thing that we've discussed here, and that is the missed opportunity. This is an opportunity for you. It's an opportunity for faith. It's an opportunity to escape judgment. But it's also an opportunity to embrace a loving and caring Lord who weeps for our salvation. Homer, go ahead. If you will, go ahead. And what number is that?
326.
If you need to come to Christ, don't pass up the opportunity. This is a time of Christ's visitation. You might feel a little funny coming out. You might feel a little nervous. Often that's God himself talking to you. You might feel like your hands are a little clammy. But stand as we sing, Homer.
Please stand as we sing hymn number 326. And the words are very simple. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Why should we tarry when Jesus is calling?
I'd be glad to pray with you if you need to come to Christ now. Don't pass up the opportunity.